Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. And it's really hope that is the focus of the Christian journey, the aspiration, the attainment. In the journey, there's a positive experience intended for us as believers, even though we might go through difficulty in life, because we're found in Him. We're led by the Spirit. We're guided by the light. We are people of the light, and we are to conduct ourselves so even in everything that we do. When we fall and when we falter, we have the availability of the gospel, the grace of God's forgiveness to us, covers us consistently. We're able to put aside the struggles, the awaits, and the sins as they're characterized by the writer of the Hebrews. Let's never lose sight of the fact we have that steadfast hope, the consistency and the constancy of the Spirit that guides us in our journey of faith. For the text this morning, I would use the epistle text from the lectionary. It's 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Last week we considered chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, as Paul is explaining and enjoying remembering Timothy and the relationship they had with each other. Even as we think of the relationships we have with each other as Christians, the relationships that we have with those that might live within visiting distance, but we still have those positive relationships and the remembrance of it, the consistency that we are to appreciate within the relationship we have as believers in our journey of faith as Christians. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, I have written on in my Bible here, this is good to read daily because it talks about the relationships we have, the strength that is to be ours in Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1, as follows in Jesus' name. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, yet except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that labors must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give unto thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bond, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, are faithless, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. When we read Scripture, we need to consider how it is personally meant for us to receive. You know, Paul is not just writing this for Timothy only. That's where it began, in the personal letters that Paul wrote, the pastoral letters that Paul wrote. But it's also written by Paul and kept in the canon of Scripture to encourage us today in our Christian walk, and in our individual ministries as we would consider it. Meant for parents, meant for fathers, meant for mothers, meant for all of us. And the desire, even as Paul is telling Timothy, that his children, that our children, that the young in faith, the young in natural way, would be strong in the Lord. And to persevere in testing. And to understand that testing will come. And to understand that suffering can be a part, and often is a part, of the Christian experience and the Christian life. Look throughout the course of history. It's not all been just a steady climb upwards. There's been peaks, there's been valleys. But we're to be consistent and constant, to stand up for the right, to reject the wrong, to evaluate based on Scripture, to say, is what this person's saying and doing, if they have claimed a conversion, is it consistent with that in behavior and in word? Is it consistent with the teachings of Jesus Christ and the values of Scripture? And so Timothy is being told by Paul to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be weak in it. Don't allow life situations to cause you to withdraw. Timothy and timidity are oftentimes characterized in same terms, because it seems, based upon what he wrote in 1 Timothy, what he writes here in 2 Timothy, talks of Timothy's personality as one to maybe back off and to be affected by some of those things that are going on around him. Strong-willed personalities sometimes want to rule the roost. The loud voice sometimes carries sway. Sometimes in the working world, which I exited recently, people will raise their voice in a meeting, wanting to get their way and push their will, even as we see culturally, even as we see politically, the strong, loud voice wants to dominate. That isn't necessarily scriptural. Some of the people in the course of my life that have spoke loudest to me have said it in a very soft, quiet manner. And especially somebody who doesn't say a lot. Someone who isn't out there in front and being very vocal and always expressing their opinion. When they speak, sometimes it behooves us to stop and listen and consider what they're saying in assessment of a situation, or what they're saying regarding in a situation. In corporate world and community projects or community activity and politics, sometimes it's a person that doesn't say a lot but says something of significance that we should listen to. And so Paul doesn't want Timothy to fall for the loud voice, or maybe allow the loud voice and the irrational voice to carry sway. But he wants Timothy to recognize where his strength is to be found. Maybe withdraw from the situation. Make an evaluation before you come back with a response or with an approach. To be strong in the grace that is to be found, can be only found in Christ Jesus. Jesus the Christ, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. All of this speaks to his origin, his purpose, and his personage as God incarnate. And to commit the word and commit the things in verse 2 that he had received from Paul to faithful men. Key thing to underline, faithful men. We all stumble, we all deal with struggles, but there is a difference between faithfulness and unfaithful. Faithful in marriage. You know, don't dissolve because there's struggle, because there's trouble. Don't move on to the next thing. Faithfulness in marriage is a Christian and a biblical attribute, to work it through rather than to cast it off, to give it up. And so he's talking here about responsibilities in the church, responsibilities of leadership to faithful men, to those who have demonstrated the ability to teach and to lead, to hold the fort, to do the proper assessment and evaluation, rather than to cast off and move on in the wrong direction in a moment's notice. Consistency and constancy that draws us nearer to Him. Draw me nearer, as we have sung. Look forward with a steadfast hope. And Paul's telling Timothy, evaluate what you've heard from me. And it's not just what you've heard, but what other witnesses are saying about what I'm teaching and what I stand for. Paul recognized he had imperfections. But look at the consistency and constancy. The things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit now to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. So there's three pieces. What you have heard among many witnesses about who I am, commit to faithful men, and those then will teach others. That's the way the church is intended to function. You know, Paul is, going back to chapter 1, the parent-to-son relationship. Telling him to stay the course. Use the Word of God in order to overcome obstacles in your life, even as we are to. Use the teachings of Scripture, the Word of God, in order to overcome obstacles in our lives today. Good to read daily, reminding us, all of us, of the need for being strong in the Lord. God's favor to man in Jesus Christ has been given to us. He did it for us, now we are to be strong in Him. And to hold fast to sound teaching or sound doctrine. Another songwriter talks about, you've been given the mind of Christ, and we are to walk in the spirit of love and mercy. How to meet the requirements of the warfare or the task at hand, the job responsibility. Don't apply for a job that you don't qualify for. Imagine going in for an interview or something we have no skill sets in, and they ask us questions and we look dumbfounded at what our response should be because we have no comprehension or clue of what the topic is. We have been given the gospel. We have been, that's been committed to us. We are a part of that faithful. Uses the gender, you know, male gender, but it's responsibility to all of us, male and female. To reliable people might be a good neutral way of saying it. That's a real key attribute. Committed to reliable people who are able to, qualified to teach others. Don't give it to the unqualified. Don't give it to unreliable people. What's going to happen? That's going to be all over the chart. All over the map. But commit to others. Delegate. Timothy, you can't do it all yourself. Just as Paul recognized in his writing, he couldn't do it all himself. That's why he enlisted Timothy. That's why he enlisted Titus. That's why he taught in the various churches. That's why there was Philemon and Onesimus and, you know, all these different men and women that Paul delegated responsibility, trusting that the guidance of the Spirit that was within him would lead them to make good decisions and teach people within that same capability. Thou therefore endure hardness or suffer through hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A picture that they understood and knew. The Roman legions of that time that were garrisoned out in Palestine and Asia Minor and in what is present day Italy, across the Roman Empire. They're good soldiers of the empire. He's saying, Timothy, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Good soldier has marching orders, is given responsibility to then execute, to carry forward. A soldier in command can't just do anything they want. You know, back in, what was the 70s, the Netherlands, they had a voting process to decide what they're going to do. Well, chaos evolves from that. The church is not to be chaotic. The church is to be consistent and constant. The church is to follow the directive and the teachings of Jesus Christ. We are to use the examples in the book of Acts as a guidance and as the boundary conditions for how life is to be conducted today. And so Timothy perhaps would suffer hardship. The inference is there, isn't it? Thou therefore endure hardness, King James, suffer hardships with me, American Standard, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. With me. We're in this together. We're not in this alone. But we have church. That's why we come together, to recognize and to realize that's part of the togetherness that is intended to be the fellowship of the church. No man, no soldier in service, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. The first responsibility is to their commanding officer. A friend of mine, a Christian man I've gotten to know over my career, is vendor to what I did at Honeywell. His son enlisted in the Marines. And Roger told me, he said, you know, now his responsibility is to his commanding officers and those that he will report to. That's his first responsibility, his first duty, and his first call. And he was talking about the holidays, how son's name is Ben. Ben won't be home for Thanksgiving or Christmas because he has boot camp he's going to, and his command and his responsibility is to be there. He'll come home for his birthday in March, he told me, Friday night, I guess, at my Honeywell retirement party. He'll come home in March. That's what this infers, is that the soldier, that the Christian, that Timothy in particular, that believers in general, are to avoid becoming entangled with the affairs of this life. Become overwhelmed by it. Be so overcome by all this stuff that's going on that we lose sight of the goal, that we lose that steadfast hope, that our will is to be found in Him, that we are to be drawn nearer to Him, not nearer to this world, but He may please Him who hath chosen Him or enrolled Him to be a soldier. Endures hardship. What does a soldier get? Receives commands, don't they? Responsible, pleases the officer upline. And he has responsibility and commitment to meet his duties and to distance him or herself from civilian affairs. They are stationed somewhere. They have their responsibilities, even as we know of family members. Maybe we have immediate family members that are in active service today, or we have family members who have been in active service and now they are returned to civilian life. But they distance themselves when they're under that command from civilian affairs. Yeah, it's there. You know, there's a voting process, there's participation as those opportunities come up. But their primary and first focus is to the one who has enrolled him to be a soldier. We are enrolled in the Lord's army. We are enrolled as his people. We are a part of his command. The second example, first, is this of a soldier of Jesus Christ. The second is that of the games. A man also strives for masteries, contending in the games. He strives lawfully. He knows what the rules of engagement are. They aren't made up as you go along. In any of the sports that all of us or many of us enjoy following, there are specific rules that govern that particular game. Paul's time, there was the, you know, we would say as the early Olympics. There are rules in races. There are rules in swimming. There are rules in the winter games. There are rules in basketball, baseball, football that govern the sport. Back in the day when I would serve as an umpire in baseball, you're surprised those nuances that come up and you have to have the rule book in your hip pocket to refer to in case something comes up. You go, I'm not quite sure how to call that one. Or when a umpire or referee in a game hesitates at a call, they're booed by the audience, by those that are in attendance. Like, You know, you know what you're calling. You don't know the rules. Well, they want to get it right. We're to recognize that we are to strive for masteries and we are to strive lawfully. We are to understand what the conduct is of the Christian life. Not that there isn't a chance to fail. That is not the issue. The issue is to recognize the conditions or the boundaries that Scripture provides for Christian behaviors, Christian conduct, and Christian language. We're to be crowned one day. Draw me nearer when I cross over that bridge to the other side. Jesus Christ welcomes home his people. The Lord says what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In verse 6, I have highlighted the husbandman that labors must also, or must be first partakers of the fruit. You can't lead if you haven't become a partaker of it. That's historically part of what happens when somebody claims Christian perspective or a conversion, and everything they do stands in stark contrast to it. Not to be given the responsibilities without being a partaker, and, you know, what's that, humility? Right? Recognizing wrong and asking forgiveness, knowing there is things that need to be rectified. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. All those attributes in Galatians. In contrast to the works of the flesh, which is strife and conflict and anger, malice, wrath, all of those very negative attributes that come out from the flesh versus that which is to emanate from the Spirit. And so the athlete competes according to the rules, perseveres, will not be crowned unless they compete per the rules. The husbandman that labors must be first partakers of the fruit. That speaks to the farmer. Or the fruit in this case has to do with the vineyard. You know, it doesn't just grow by itself. The one who's governing or working the vineyard, as was so often spoken of in Scripture, from which they made the wine that they partook of. Would go out there and test the grapes, would till the soil, would prune the branches. It was marvelous years ago when, you know, there were great grape arbors here in Gilbert, and you could go pick grape, and we would take a piece of plywood and put it out there and dry it, and we'd have all these natural organic grapes. Well, I assume maybe it was organic, they didn't spray it, but you know, you have the husbandman, the one who's taking care of it, goes out there and tests it and partakes of it before they then have others to come to pick and to partake of it. And so similarly, Timothy has become converted to a believer, has repented, believed the gospel under the hand of Paul. Now Timothy has responsibility to do set among his people to have the church flourish, and they must also then become partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I like how Paul takes ownership of this. Paul saw himself as an apostle out of due season after his experience on the road to Damascus, after his conversion in Damascus, and he took it personally. My gospel that's been given to me, the good news that I have become a partaker of, I now want to share and spread abroad. And no one was more prolific than going into the world, known world that time, than the apostle Paul. Consider what I say. Ponder. Think about what I'm telling you. And may the Lord give the understanding in all things. Or the Lord will give you and shall give you understanding. The trust that God would give him understanding in what was being shared and what he was receiving. And the core of it is that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, of the lineage of David, was raised from the dead after his a crucifixion and his burial according to the gospel, my gospel. And Paul recognized he's suffering trouble. He's in prison, unjustifiably, but, you know, being seen as an evildoer, as he tells it in verse 9. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, imprisonment, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Not going to be held back. Attaboy. Carry on. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. And Paul's life was short after this, his last letter. And he knew that somebody else is going to have to carry the torch, move it forward. May the Lord give you understanding or insight into all these things, that Jesus Christ would continue to be the foundation of their lives. And his resurrection is the key to our salvation and our redemption. I mean, Paul was viewed as a common criminal, put in prison. But that can't hold back the word of God. Paul sees himself as one man. But Christ is God, right? Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the perfect revelation of God in him. And his death has infinite value because he was substituted for us on the cross. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The eternal piece of the equation that we shall all one day participate in. I'm going to put up with what's going on. I endure all things for the believers, for the elect's sake, that they may attain salvation with eternal glory. Salvation was to be theirs. Salvation is ours. Thou therefore, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In verses 11, 12, and 13, kind of poetry. It's a faithful saying. For if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not or are faithless, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. It was part of an early Christian hymn. Died with Christ. The Greek has it in the past tense. The result is that we live with him eternally. Endurance, reigning in his return. What was the ultimate denial that we have in Scripture? I think it was the Apostle Peter, or the disciple Peter as he was then. Peter said, I don't know him. But he recognized the Lord's hand in the restoration of Peter, in not allowing Peter to be cast off. Well, need another one. One fell off the ship. Go find another. No. We keep pulling towards the middle. We keep making sure we're emptying the water out of the rowboat. Someone's leaning over the edge. We pull them back to the middle. We do everything to keep it in harmony, to keep things from deteriorating, to keep Christians in relationships and in a positive perspective and being strong in Jesus Christ. God is still faithful. He cannot disown or deny himself, because what? He is God. He's the creator. He cannot deny himself. He exists. He was the one who saw fit to send Jesus Christ to this earth and to establish the New Testament church in fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament, and to create and to define and to call disciples that then became apostles, and to call Paul out of due season to become one of the most important apostles that we have, because he saw Jesus on that road. People that claim apostleship today don't go according to Scripture. Scripture says an apostle is someone who has seen Jesus Christ. Paul was there on that road. And so Paul tells Timothy, if we suffer, we shall reign. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithfully. A lot of times, words from Scripture are put together to create a hymn. That was what the early church did so capably. You go back to Europe, and they still, in some of the old churches, sing some of Scripture. We have all the beautiful hymns that we have in the hymnal today, written by inspiration, that we might be encouraged, that we today, through Scripture, through what we read, through what we hear, and through what we sing, be strong today in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.